welcome to Sharper Iron. Spend the next hour with us studying the living and active Word of God, His two-edged sword of law and gospel, recorded for you in Holy Scripture, all about Jesus Christ, crucified, risen, and ascended for you. Thanks for tuning in this morning here on KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. I am your host, Pastor Timothy Apple of Faith Lutheran Church in Godfrey, Illinois. Sharper Iron is underwritten by Lutheran Church Extension Fund. Together in Faith, LCEF helps to start, sustain, and strengthen LCMS ministries through financial and strategic partnerships. Visit lcef.org for more information. On this Wednesday, November 26th, we are studying hymn number 895 in Lutheran Service Book, Now Thank We All Our God. In this hymn, Christians join together to give thanks for God's ongoing gifts, and we pray that He would continue to shower us with His goodness. To help us sharpen our faith in Christ as we study God's Word today, we have with us regular guest, Pastor Stephen Preuss. Pastor Preuss serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Vinton, Iowa. Pastor Preuss, welcome back to Sharper Iron.
Thanks. Good to be with you.
As we get started today, Pastor, talk to us just in general about the importance of thanksgiving as in the life of the Christian.
Yeah, I mean, it's a response of faith to what God has done for us, His gracious works, His precious promises, all the words that He's given us, the order He's given us in our life, everything that we receive from our Heavenly Father for the sake of His Son, Jesus Christ, is a reason for us to give thanks to Him. So, you know, one theologian says that thanksgiving is a prerogative of faith in our Heavenly Father and when what He's done for us. And I think that's a good way of looking at thanksgiving, is a prerogative of faith that clings to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit and the words and works that they give us. So it is, and I remember one commentary I read long ago, that a prayer without thanksgiving is like a bird without wings. It's hard for it to rise. And that's something that we should see in the Psalms and in many hymns, that even if there's a lament, even if there is something for us to complain about, there's always an ending with thanksgiving, because we always have our good and gracious God. So the Christian life is a life of thanksgiving. Our whole lives are a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And it's really our response of faith. Christ has made the atoning sacrifice, and now our sacrifice is what we call the Eucharistic sacrifice, the sacrifice of thanksgiving for all that the Lord does and continues into the future to do for us.
So we're looking at hymn number 895 in Lutheran Service Book this morning. This is another one that's in the Thanksgiving section, particularly of the hymnal. And I think of all hymns of Thanksgiving, this is probably the most well-known among Lutherans, both for the text and the tune, I think. Talk to us a little bit about the background of the author and the text that he's got here.
Sure. The author of the hymn is Martin Rinkhart. He was a cantor, and so he was very much in charge of all of the music at a few different places in Germany, in Saxony. He was a pastor, and eventually he was the archdeacon in his hometown of Eilenburg. And that started in around the year, or in the year 1617, and he served there until his death in 1649. If you know anything about the 30 Years' War, which was to this date, even with World War I and World War II, the most devastating of wars for Germany in that region in Central Europe, with millions upon millions of people dying during that 30 Years' War. The 30 Years' War actually coincides almost exactly with Martin Rinkhart's position as archdeacon in Eilenburg. So he starts in 1617. The 30 Years' War started in 1618. He dies in 1649, and the 30 Years' War was ended in 1648, and the peace was declared. So this was a devastating war. It brought an increase of refugees to many places, including Eilenburg, after 1630, and was even more difficult in 1637 when a plague came about there, and more than 8,000 residents died of that plague, including all but three members of the city council. There were many school children who died, and the pastors of the other churches in Eilenburg, except for one who sadly fled. And then Rinkhart's own wife, Christine, died too. So that year, it's said that Rinkhart had over 4,000 funerals. He even led mass funerals, right? So not just for one person, but like a funeral just for 50 people in one day. And so to say that he was a busy man is an understatement. To say that he went through devastating times is an understatement. We don't know anything like the suffering that this man went through. He also took on the duties of the pastors who died, right, and fled, and was counseling whatever remaining civic leaders there were. On top of that, after the plague was a famine. And so Rinkart was one who organized an emergency aid for the city. And he bought grain with his own money, and he fed people from his own home, and he really lived on little for his own family. We'll talk about here about how this hymn is actually a hymn written for his children, for the children, maybe we could say, as kind of a mealtime prayer in the midst of having scraps, right? I mean, I don't have to even eat beans and you know, rice. I have good meals every single day. And what a thing for that they're singing this hymn in the midst of such hardship. He believed that the Lord gave him his daily bread, even if it was just the smallest of scraps. Yeah. So they got through the famine. There's also a case in 1639, the Swedes were attacking, they were demanding payment to protect Eilenburg because there was, you know, this Protestant Catholic war going on, and they couldn't pay because of the devastation, and the Swedes refused to budge on how much they owed. And so Rinkart ended up praying publicly. What a thing, right? Singing publicly in front of the soldiers. And they ended up reducing the payment from $30,000 to $2,000. And the hymn that they were singing, When in the Hour of Utmost or Deepest Need, is a hymn in our hymnal as well. And that's what they say was being sung at the time. So that's kind of the situation, the context in which this man is writing this hymn, and gives you quite an understanding then of, I mean, the jubilation of that hymn, which we'll get to the tune in a second, but just the words themselves. Wow, this man believes in thanksgiving, even in the midst of the worst of hardships.
Yeah, I mean, it's congregations will sing this on a Thanksgiving Eve or a Thanksgiving Day service under, you know, with HVAC cooled or heated as needed, you know, sanctuaries with lights. And I mean, and then they're going to go home to a wonderful meal. And it just, like, the context of this, especially as a mealtime prayer for his children who are likely hungry between meals, it just is, it's remarkable. And I think, I don't even know how to even put myself into that situation. Because like you said, we just don't know suffering like this. And yet to have this kind of joyful text and tune is such a witness to what the Christian faith actually is and what it means to be content and to be thankful. Like what Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4 about doing all things. That's what this hymn is. And when you get that full context, it just amazes you and in many ways, you know, puts us to shame when we complain.
Yeah, I know. And it's, you know, one further thing about Rinkart was a signet ring that he wore. And it had, you know, the word musica written on it, inscribed on it. And obviously, he was a cantor, and so music was his big thing. But he was doing more than promoting music. It actually stood for, the German is Mein Vertrauen steht in Christo allein, which means my trust is in Christ alone. Right? This is how he got through. Now, how can we get through any time, whether times of plenty or times of great, great need? We get through with our trust in Christ alone. This trust in Christ in the midst of devastation undergirds this beautiful hymn of thanksgiving. And so the same faith you have, you know, in times of prosperity, we want the good Lord to deliver us, but also in these times of tribulation. And sometimes, as we know, it's a prerogative of faith to give thanks at all times for what God's giving us, but those times of trouble, to our shame, yes, but also to the glory of God, we will glorify his name in the midst of calling upon him in every trouble, praying, praising, and giving thanks. So this man, you know, it's good to know this history just to make this hymn, which is already beautiful in our minds, even more beautiful considering its context.
You mentioned the tune as well. This is a well-known tune among Lutherans. Talk a little bit about the hymn, right, or the composer of the melody.
Yeah, so just everyone should know the name of Johann or John Kruger. If you're a Lutheran, This man is widely considered the best writer of hymn tunes that the Lutheran Church has had. I'll give you a few of the tunes that he has, and this is just from mostly Lutheran service book. O Lord, how shall I meet you? We'll be singing that in Advent coming up here. All my heart again rejoices, or this night rejoices. O Jesus Christ, thy manger is, the old tune, the original tune to that. O dearest Jesus, what law hast thou broken? I'm mentioning Advent, Christmas, now here, Good Friday, Holy Week. Awake my heart with gladness, which is the great Easter hymn that we have for his tune there. And then also a tune that's used for a couple different hymns, Jesus Christ, my sure defense, and Jesus lives, the victory's won. Sometimes Lutheran Service Book especially has done a good job of bringing some of these more familiar tunes to us. And sometimes the tunes are simply used for more than one hymn. Lord, to you I make confession is a great hymn of confession that we know. Great Lord's Supper hymn, soul adorn thyself with gladness. Another one that people might know well, Jesus, priceless treasure. One that you can also sing as a hymn for a meal or at the Lord's Supper, feed thy children, God most holy. The same tune as Now Thank We All Our God would be the Lord my God be praised. And then Isaac Watts. So we have Isaac Watts hymns, and Isaac Watts is not a Lutheran, but he used the tunes of Kruger for three hymns, the same tune, Come Let Us Join Our Cheerful Songs, Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds, and This Is the Day the Lord Has Made. If you ask hymn writers who don't know how to write tunes or maybe aren't as gifted at writing them, they want another John Kruger, right? Johann Kruger, to get another one of him would be an amazing gift to the church. One of the reasons we love Now Thank We All Our God is not just because of the wonderful words from Rinkart, but also this just beautiful tune from Kruger. Play it nice and joyfully, right? It's not a dirge. Anyone who would think it's a dirge, your organist must be playing it way too slowly in his kind of a way. Play it a little faster, you could say, and have the joy of this hymn. It is a beautiful tune.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely. Now, before we look at the text of the hymn itself, there are a number of Bible passages that are listed at the bottom of Lutheran Service Book that go along with this text, but the primary one is not actually in the Old or the New Testament, but it's in the Apocrypha. Talk to us about where the title, Now Thank We All Our God, comes from.
Yeah, so in Ecclesiasticus 50, verses 22 to 24, we hear this, And now bless the God of all, who in every way does great things, who exalts our days from birth and deals with us according to his mercy. May he give us gladness of heart and grant that peace may be in our days in Israel as in the days of old. May he entrust to us his mercy and let him deliver us in our days. So this is from the Apocrypha, so we would not consider this to be inspired like the Old and New Testaments, but it is very good history. The people of God should be reading it. The people of God should treat it as, you know, if there are errors in it, of course, we don't want to believe any of the errors that would conflict with Scripture, but most of it is just wonderful history of the people of God between the Testaments, and we should really, really take that to heart. And it's amazing that this, you know, there are other Bible passages to be sure, but as you can just hear from the language, this must have been a part of it, if not the main text that was used. So it just shows that, you know, our idea of the Apocrypha in the Lutheran Church in the last 100 years since we stopped using the Luther Bible has kind of changed a little bit. Concordia Publishing House put out a very nice study Bible or study Apocrypha so that you can study it and see what it's all about and learn a lot from it. But it was included. I have a Luther Bible just on my desk over in my study here, and it has the Apocrypha right in the center of it. It's a little different in a couple places, but it's right there. So it's good for us to look at those passages from the Apocrypha too. There's some wonderful things in there.
Sure, yeah, and there are other liturgical texts that come mm-hmm. out of the Apocrypha that we don't always realize, oh, that's where it was originally drawn from. And as you said, what you read there from the Apocrypha certainly fits with everything that we have in the Old and New Testament and other passages that we will consider along the way as we look at this hymn. So let's go ahead, from what I understand, like when you look at Luther's German Bible, the way that he writes this text in German matches up really closely with that text in Luther's German, such that it does seem that that was on his mind, along with many other texts as we go through this. So let's look at stanza one of the hymn, Now Thank We All Our God, from Lutheran Service Book 895. Now thank we all our God, with hearts and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom his world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. That's stanza one of the hymn. So, now thank we all our God. Let's just start with that.
Yeah, it's a call for Christians to thank our God, right? Stanza three we'll talk about. This is the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To call him our God is a confession of faith. Think about Jesus on the cross, the greatest time a confession of faith in the history of this world is when he said, my God, why have you forsaken me? And so he calls out to my God. That's faith. So the Lord of the Old Testament, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, that is the God we are praying to, as this hymn makes clear later on.
Yeah. So, and then the thanksgiving happens with hearts and hands and voices. Talk to us about those three aspects of thanksgiving.
Yeah, a very important point that he starts with hearts and hands and voices. And later on, I'm gonna get to something interesting, I think, about that turn of phrase. But with hearts and hands and voices, it's not just an external thing, right? It's not just that we are going through the motions, but it really is a heartfelt thanksgiving from faith that leads the whole body and tongue to give thanks. When we teach the catechism, and you know this, Pastor Apple, that you'll start with the, as Luther teaches it in the Large Catechism, with the heart, and it goes from the heart then to the lips, right, and then to the ears. And this is really a very brilliant way of teaching the first three commandments, that our heart needs to be right, having the true God, and then fearing, loving, and trusting him above all things, we then use our lips, our tongues, to proclaim his praises. And so this is a complete person giving thanks to God, everything that we are, and then out into our lives as we live to love our neighbor and offering our lives as a sacrifice to our Lord, giving thanks for giving us this life of faith and love.
Talk more about that last part, because I think of the three things that are mentioned, the hearts, especially like on the day of Thanksgiving, I feel thankful. And on the day of Thanksgiving, I say I'm thankful, the voices. But it's the hands aspect. How is the whole life of the Christian one of thanksgiving?
Yeah, so when I, for example, I am a husband and a father, and when I hear what God has done for me in Jesus Christ, how Jesus is the bridegroom of the Christian church and has loved me and sacrificed himself for me in order to present me as spotless in his sight, and when I hear that God has given me this life and that he blesses me continually throughout my life, that he has given me faith by the Holy Spirit and holy baptism, and through his precious word keeps me in that faith, and through his sacrament increases my, from his pierced hand, he gives me the forgiveness that he purchased for me. I then take my hands and say, how can I be a good husband? How can I be a good father? How can I be a good pastor? I consider my vocation, my station in life, according to the three estates, that is, in the family, in the church, in the civic community, in our nation. And I ask, what is it that God would have me do? What are the pleasing things that he mentions in his word that I can do to help my neighbor and to be the channel that God uses to bless other people? And so that's the hands part. And that's where the sanctification comes in. And we'll talk about that a little bit more too, but it's well worth mentioning. It's a complete thing, starting in the heart and then going out from there.
Now, you mentioned this particular turn of phrase, hearts, hands, and voices. I find it memorable just from the hymn itself, but since we're looking at it right now, where else does it show up?
Yeah, I found this interesting. So I have a reading plan to read through the Lutheran Confessions. All of us as pastors of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod took a vow that we would be reading the Lutheran Confessions. And as I was reading through it recently, before I even knew I was going to be doing this hymn study, I was hearing that, I heard that phrase, and I was like, oh, hey, now thank we all our God, hearts and hands and voices. It's in the preface to the Book of Concord in paragraph 16. Now, I'm not a German, so maybe this is a common way of speaking in German, probably is, but it's certainly interesting, isn't it, to see the same language being used by the confessors of the Book of Concord as to why they're writing this, that they're giving thanks to God with hearts and hands and voices. Regardless of the intention there from Rinkart, it's always appropriate to use for the Reformation or any celebration of our Lutheran confession. We give thanks for the pure word that we have inherited. They fought for this, both physically and spiritually, in order that we might retain this pure confession. It was for posterity, and we thank God for it. Now, here's an interesting thing, is that Rinkart actually wrote at the 100th anniversary of the Reformation some plays. And, you know, he was not somebody who, you know, kind of was lukewarm in his confessional theology. He knew the Lutheran confession, so I don't think it's far-fetched to think that he actually was using that. But again, it could be a common phrase. But here's another thing, is that Bach used it. Bach used it in Cantata 79, and he used it for Reformation Day. So God the Lord is sun and shield. And in there you have two hymns, chorales, one of which is Now Thank We All Our God. So with all of that said, when we give thanks, we're going to talk about all sorts of ways in which we give thanks. How about giving thanks for the pure doctrine that has been handed down to us through the Lutheran confessions?
Yeah, I love that connection for that reason. And also then maybe if you take it the other way, that the Reformation and the pure doctrine is what actually makes me thankful.
Yes.
I can't have this kind of thanksgiving apart from the true doctrine of the Reformation.
Excellent. Yes, absolutely. And I've always known that about the Bach Cantata, or for a long time, I should say. I didn't know it in the womb. We'll get to that. But what I do, what I'm even more enriched in my knowledge of this hymn, and I pray that the listeners are too, just knowing how this is a Reformation hymn too. It's
yes.
not just a hymn of Thanksgiving Day. It is a hymn of the Reformation. And I know that next year, I haven't been picking it. There's so many good hymns, it's hard, right?
It's hard, yeah.
But I do plan on picking it next year, or having the choir, somebody sing it, or the bells play it. I think it's just a beautiful hymn for Reformation, too, because of this reason.
Absolutely, absolutely. So the second line of the first stanza, this God whom we are thanking with hearts, hands, and voices, he is the one who wondrous things has done and in whom his world rejoices. Talk about that second line.
Yeah, the wondrous things are what cause the world to rejoice, and it's his world. I like that. When you memorize hymns, it's important to get those prepositions and pronouns and things correct, and I remember getting corrected on, it's not the world, it's his world, and that's correct. It is his world, everything in it. To rejoice, and that's what he wants, because of these wondrous things, rejoice because of the triune God's work in creation and redemption and sanctification. So that's the wondrous things. God. It's interesting, Jesus wonders at a couple of things. He marvels at a couple of things. One's unbelief, and the other is faith. And so he marvels at his own creation of faith. And so, yes, I'm going to talk about the work of creation of God the Father, but also the work of redemption and sanctification through the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah. All three articles of the Creed are among the wondrous things that God has done. When it says, in whom his world rejoices... Are you hearing that as the world in the sense of all people, or the world is in all creation? Like we talk about in the Psalms, creation rejoices in the work of God. How would you understand that?
Yeah, I think that you can take it that way too. You know, I think in stanza three, whom earth and heaven adore, kind of goes on that same line. So I would say it's kind of like that with the Psalms.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just like in whom his world rejoices. We talked about the specific Christian nature of thanksgiving, and then yet we know the world did not receive Jesus in John chapter 1. And I'm not trying to nitpick. I guess I'm just thinking through what that means, that the world rejoices in the wondrous things that God has done. Perhaps even in the unbeliever, that they still receive the good gifts of God, and any joy they have is still attributed to the one true God, even if they don't realize it.
Yeah, that's great. That's what Jesus teaches, exactly that, in the Sermon on the Mount, right? Where he talks about how, you know, he gives the rain and he gives the sun for the just and the unjust, the good and the evil. And why? Because he's our merciful Father. And it's another way to point people to, hey, You want to know why you're enjoying that meal? You want to know why you're enjoying that vacation? You want to know why you're enjoying your children or a good sunny day or whatever it might be, that harvest? It's because of your Father. This is His world, and He's been blessing you. And let me tell you, the greatest blessing He gave Himself. And we can certainly use that as a way to then preach the gospel.
Yeah, yeah. What a fantastic hymn that we have here before us. We're going to keep looking at it more on the other side of the break. You're listening to Sharper Iron on KFUO. We're talking to Pastor Stephen Preuss this morning. We'll be right back. Please stick around.
Did you know that an investment with Lutheran Church Extension Fund exclusively supports LCMS ministries and church workers? That's right. LCEF ensures LCMS churches, schools, and organizations have access to the financial resources they need to sustain, strengthen, and start ministry work. In other words, you can feel good investing with LCEF because we share your Lutheran values and love for the church. Learn more at lcef.org.
LCEF is a nonprofit religious organization. Therefore, LCEF investments are not FDIC-insured bank deposit accounts. This is not an offer to sell investments or solicitation to buy. LCEF will offer and sell its securities only in states where authorized. The offer is made solely by LCEF's offering circular. Investors should carefully read the offering circular, which more fully describes associated risks.
Welcome back to Sharper Iron. It is Wednesday, November 26th. We're studying hymn number 895 in Lutheran Service Book, Now Thank We All Our God. Our guest today is Pastor Stephen Preuss. He serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Vinton, Iowa. Pastor Preuss, prior to the break, we had gone through the first half of stanza one. In line three of that stanza, Cart says, "Who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way." At least that's how the English translation goes that we sing. Talk to us about the "from our mother's arms."
Yeah, that's a beautiful enough sentiment. The original German, though, doesn't say that. It says Mutterleib, which means womb. And so we can continue to sing it, although it would be a pretty easy change in the next version of the hymnal, just throwing that out there, right? I think others have said the same thing, that who from our mother's womb has blessed us on our way. This makes it a pro-life verse. It confesses God as creating and blessing from conception, knitting us together in our mother's wombs. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. I think it's a beautiful confession to see that God has, from the very moment of fertilization, been taking care of you, and even before, but just to see that in your physical life, there in the womb all the way to the end of your life, He is there blessing you on your way.
Yeah, I know. Womb is one syllable like arms is, but I think arms beginning with the vowel, you know, flows a little bit better off the tongue. And so, I think it's a fantastic thing to point out that this is like when we talk about how long God has cared for us and done these wondrous things, it does go all the way back to when He gave us life and being in our mother's womb. And then too, I imagine again Rinkhart teaching his children to sing this,
right?
And just the extra level of, I don't know, intimacy is maybe the right word that has within the family context as we think about what this, you know, we're singing this together around the dinner table preparing to eat. And I don't know if he wrote this before or after his wife died, but either way, just that setting I think adds to the sense of joy in that very simple phrase.
No, it definitely does. And, you know, Catherine Winkworth is the one who translated this. She's one of the greatest women ever in the history of the church for translating all of this great German hymnody into English for us. And so we very much owe a thanks to her. I think for her, the translation was a little bit of an alliteration from our mother's arms. I mean, you can kind of hear, or assonance, I should say, and you can hear the vowel sounds. I would argue, though, who and womb, you know, who and womb work. Anyway, besides that, the whole point is simply that whether it's from the arms, which I have an infant right now and I watch him in his mother's arms, and to think of my Benjamin being a grown man like we are right now and thinking of God blessing him on his way from there or from the womb, either way is a beautiful pro-life way of our our confessing, our God taking care of us throughout life.
Yeah, absolutely. We could talk about the fourth commandment there as well. We were actually recently reading the large catechism on the fourth commandment from in our elders meeting here, and just the way that, you know, God provides life through our parents all the way back to the womb. Mm. Just again, especially as you reflect upon this as an adult now, and the way that God blessed you in so many ways that you didn't even realize through your parents. Again, there's another aspect of Thanksgiving as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. I think of my mom when I mean, who doesn't? I think of my wife with my children, but it's a great way for us to then say, okay, my mom, honor my mom, call my mom, right? It's a reminder to these about these things, and that God has used them and taking care of us through them, and that as they grow older, then for us to take care of them and God using us to do that.
Yeah. So from there, from the mother's womb, God has blessed us on our way. So from there, along the way, talk to us about that. That's a big theme in the scriptures.
Big theme in scripture. It has to do with our life as the people of God, those who have faith in the Lord. In the Old Testament, you see that in Psalm 19 is a great example, over and over again, talking about the way of the Lord. Jesus famously calls himself the way. He is the path, and we need him to lighten our way. The Christian church was first called the way. And so it's really about our sanctified life in the broad sense of the term, from being brought to faith by the gospel through the work of the Holy Spirit in the gospel, all the way through the good works then that he works through us, that he would walk with us. There are other hymns that use that, you know, that idea of walking. St. Paul loves that idea of walking as well. And this is our Christian life. So it's from the beginning, and he blessed us on our way as Christians who are living out this Christian life.
Yeah, it's a beautiful picture of all the way from the womb for the rest of that way on which our Lord has set us the way that he is. What has he given us? Countless gifts of love, and still is ours today. So you still get in that last line the thought of God's continued care, not just at the very beginning, but continued care throughout this way.
Right. Again, a reminder to us that the Lord is not a God of the deists. If you remember, the deists would believe in a maker, but then he doesn't provide. The famous image of that is the watchmaker who just winds the watch and then goes away and doesn't have anything to do with it anymore. That is not our God. Our God is not only creator, he is also provider. He is preserver. He remains ours. I love that. He is ours and we are his. You think of Song of Solomon there too. He remains the caring, providing God of his creation, of his children. And it's a theme that becomes even clearer as we enter into the second stanza.
Yeah, and I love that he still is ours today. It's not only the countless gifts, the life, the setting us on our way, but actually, as the Psalms say, he is our portion. He is our inheritance. And had we nothing else, but we had him, we would have all that we need.
That's right. Yeah, the hymn echoes the psalm, right? Yea, the Lord thee I love with all my heart. Yeah. Yea, heaven itself were void and bare if thou, Lord, wert not near me. I don't want a heaven without Jesus.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. I don't want a life right now without Jesus.
Exactly.
He is still ours today. So stanza two then, having giving thanks, right? We're called to give thanks to this God in stanza one. Now stanza two, we turn and we pray to this same God for continued gifts. So stanza two. O may this bounteous God through all our life be near us, with ever joyful hearts and blessed peace to cheer us, and keep us in his grace, and guide us when perplexed, and free us from all ills in this world and the next. So there is stanza two. Again, a prayer now, asking God first, well, we acknowledge him as the bounteous God, and then asking him to be near us. Talk to us about that first line.
Yeah, so this kind of, this stanza begins by continuing the theme of God's generosity. Following stanza one's attribution of blessing us with countless gifts of love, it calls him here this bounteous God. And again, think of all three articles of the Creed from the physical life that we have. You can also think of it according to the Lord's Prayer. I'm just simply using the Creed as the example. But it's helpful for us to consider the physical blessings, the redemptive blessings, the blessings of the Holy Spirit, and just looking through the Creed, and you see the bounty of God and what he's done for us and what he does for us now and what he will do for us in the future. And it's countless. It's countless. Try to count the grains of sand on the seashore. Try to count the stars in the sky. Try to think about the promise God gave to Abraham and think of how much you have in the Christian church as those who are children of Abraham through faith in Jesus Christ, the promised seed. And it's just, it's overwhelming in a good way. And that's what he's trying to point out. And then he calls on God's presence into the future, right? Through all our life, be near us. This is what we want from the Lord. We want him to be with us always, as he promised, never to leave us nor forsake us, not to leave us as orphans. How many times do we hear in Scripture this theme spoken of? And it's a presence that's not, it's not a vague presence, right? He's not just sitting there like playing video games with you or watching a movie with you, right? He is there for particular purposes. He's near to us to what? To give us ever joyful hearts, right? How can you rejoice in the Lord always? Well, because you've been given the Spirit and he has given you this joy. It's a fruit of the Spirit, joy through faith in Jesus Christ. So thanksgiving is not just words. It's a matter of the heart. It's the heart is joyful, even if the circumstances around you are not. And let's think really quickly again, reminding ourselves about what Martin Rinkhart was going through. And it helps you see why he put this in there and starts there. He also talks about how God is near to cheer us with blessed peace. And why peace? Well, because we're justified by faith. Romans 5 verse 1 says this, we have peace with God. But also, I mean, they're looking for peace in the midst of this war. And so he's waiting for this, and he did get to see it too, even though not all did. And so he wants to be cheered. So that's why God is near, is to give peace. But that peace most certainly is in that joyful heart. Keep us in his grace. We are not those who believe that once baptized, always saved. No, we can lose that grace by running away from it. God's always there to give in his patience to bring us back to repentance and faith. But he says, keep us in this grace. This is a gift. This is his undeserved love for us in Christ. And he promises to guard it, right? The peace of God that passes all understanding. Keep, guard your hearts and minds. This is what will happen when you are in his word. And also, he's near us to guide us when perplexed. That's his promise. Whatever we go through, fire, water, flood, famine, war, as he's going through, he will remain with us and guide us when we're perplexed in the midst of these things. And then finally, he's near us to free us from all ills in this world and the next. You can think about it physically and spiritually there. They're going through some tough times, right, in this 30 years war, but also the ills of soul. That we're attacked by the devil, the world is angering us, and our own sinful flesh is not acting as it should, needs to be crucified. He's going to free us from this through the absolution, through his holy word, not just in this world, but in the next that is to come.
Yeah, in those last two parts, the guide us when perplexed and free us from all ills in this world and the next, I see the sixth and seventh petitions of the Lord's Prayer, that the Lord would not lead us into temptation, but would rather lead us, would guide us out of that. And then, of course, the deliverance from all evil, or deliverance from the evil one. I think you see the end of the Lord's Prayer there at the end of this stanza.
Definitely, definitely. I just had a member die yesterday, a dear member, and I was praying, deliver us from evil, and just remembering what Luther said, to give us a blessed end and bring us to himself in heaven. And that is his final deliverance, is to bring us to heaven and the resurrection of the body and deliver us from evil. It's in this life, I mean, you can't imagine how many times you've been delivered from evil in this world, physically and spiritually. The amount of arrows the devil has pointed at you at all times, trying to get you away from him. This man got it. He got it. Keep us in your grace. Guide us when perplexed. Free us from all ills in this world and the next. He knows what dangers are out there, but he knows all the more the strength of our Lord Jesus in the midst of weakness, who went through the cross and will be with us while we bear ours until we rise to glory, just as he has. The head has risen, the body will follow.
Yeah, thinking about this stanza in light of the rest of the Lord's Prayer, actually, I find very, very helpful, especially with God being called bounteous and putting it in the context of Rinkhart's, 30 years war, famine, all of those hardships that he endured. I think we just tend to look at the bounty of God, especially through the lens of the fourth petition. When we have a lot of daily bread, then we think of God as bounteous. But when we don't have as much daily bread, we're maybe a little more prone not to think that way. I think Rinkhart in this stanza helps us to realize there's a first, second, third, fifth, sixth, seventh petitions that the Lord is also always bountifully answering for us, such that when daily bread seems to be less than what we think it should be, there's still more than enough bounty to go around.
Yeah. Whenever I teach the Lord's Prayer, and I'm sure this is similar with you too, what are most petitions from people? They're from the fourth petition, and there's so much more there. I just to zoom in on one, thy kingdom come. This is such a joy to know at all times that when we are baptized, we are brought into the kingdom of God. We are now a royal priesthood. We are God's own people according to his own possession. And to think that this is, to actually contemplate that for a while, to sit and contemplate that you are royalty in the kingdom of God, all by the grace of God, is that not bounty? That your inheritance is safe for you, kept for you in the heavens by our Lord until he comes to have the meek inherit the earth in a way that's even beyond what we have right now, because it is our world, because it's his world, and he's made it for us. And we're here to bless those people that we can with that kingdom and pray that it be spread wide and as many as can possibly be brought into this glorious kingdom that we have. So that's bounty right there.
Yeah, yeah. The treasures that the Lord invites us to ask for within the Lord's Prayer are incredible bounty. And of course, it's not wrong to pray for the fourth petition. The Lord teaches us to pray those things. He just wants us to pray for all the other things too, and to recognize all of that bounty as well. And I think, again, this hymn stanza helps us to do that, particularly in the context of Rinkhart. The other thing that does stand out, that line, through all our life be near us. As you said, it is a specific presence of God. It's remarkable how often in the scriptures the Lord promises, whether an individual or his people, I am with you, or I will be with you. I think I was preaching an Advent sermon one time on Emmanuel, and I just went through the Bible and found as many as I could from as many different books, and I quickly realized I was not going to be able to say all of them within the context of the sermon, and I think I gave verses from about a third of the different books of the Bible. But it is amazing how often the Lord wants us to know that he is with us or near us, and the hymn gives us that comfort here.
Absolutely. I think of Moses too, right? Where he says, like, if you don't go with us, like, I'm not going, right? And that's how it is with our life. One of my favorite hymns, to bring up another hymn, is I Walk in Danger All the Way. It gets us into that whole idea of God being guided by the Lord. We walk with angels all the way. We walk with Jesus all the way. This way that we have, that he talks about in this hymn, is, again, a very constant scriptural theme. And what I love too is Jesus calls himself the way, so that you're actually literally walking there with him the whole time. You can't not be as a Christian.
Yeah, that's right. You are baptized into him. You are walking in the way because you are in the way. You are in Jesus Christ by virtue of the baptism that God has given. You mentioned the creed, especially when we think about the wondrous things God has done and the bounty that God gives. And we talked about the Lord's Prayer. I think you could look at the entirety of the Catechism, the commandments, baptism, confession, the sacrament of the altar. All of this is the bounty of God that he gives to us and for which we give him thanks.
And which gets us back to the thanksgiving for being Lutheran. What we have inherited is so precious. It is so precious. The Catechism is the clearest, simple explanation of the Christian faith you will ever find. And it is ours. It was handed down. This is a sacred trust. And let us continue to have it and use it and see, the bounty we have in this pure teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ.
All right, so let's take a look at stanza 3 of the hymn. This is a doxological stanza that sings praise to the triune God. All praise and thanks to God the Father now be given, the Son, and him who reigns with them in highest heaven, the one eternal God whom earth and heaven adore. For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. There is stanza three of the hymn. There's a, you know, it's a doxology. So many doxologies share characteristics with each other. What do we see in this one?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, the doxology of Gloria Patri to the Holy Trinity, three persons, yet one eternal God. So we know who this God, whose world it is, whom we are thanking, who this is. You know, the whole whom earth and heaven adore is a reminder of Psalms like Psalm 69, which says, let heaven and earth praise him, the seas and everything that moves in them. You think about Psalms 148, which has heaven and earth praising God. You think about Revelation talking about, you know, the earth and the sea and everything is certainly the Lord's. So it's a good way to just kind of encompass all things, the whole universe and everything in it. You brought up before the notion that there are people who are thankful or grateful in the sense of like they have things in this life and they're enjoying them, but they might not yet know or might not ever know the true God. So we're just simply saying, like, you enjoy this sunny day, you enjoy this Thanksgiving holiday, you enjoy your family, you enjoy whatever it might be that is good and true and right and beautiful. Well, then there's someone to thank for that, not just to be thankful in general, but to be thankful to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So it's just a reminder to us to receive not just the gifts, but the giver of the gifts. You think about the 10 lepers who are healed and the one who comes back, and his thanksgiving is not just for his healing, but for the one who healed him, the Lord Jesus, who is God in the flesh. So we should always be singing doxologies. Doxological stanzas are wonderful, but it's especially appropriate in a hymn that is a hymn of thanksgiving.
Yeah, the specificity of this stanza is very important so that we do know the one true God to whom we are giving thanks. This isn't just a generic God out there somewhere, but mm-hmm. It is the true God who has revealed himself to us. And so we know his name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. In this stanza, you know, if you're, well, where is the Holy Spirit? That's in the second line, him who reigns with them in highest heaven. So you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is named as the him who reigns with them. The fact that we specify who the God is, this is why, for example, when we come together for worship in the divine service, we begin with the invocation. We begin in this name, this triune name, and we end with it. And we often say this very thing in the psalm so that the whole world knows this is the God we are talking about, the God who has given all things and no other.
This is why, you know, the work of the Holy Trinity is so important. You know, you look at the hymn, and in some ways you could say, well, you know, maybe some other religion could sing those first two stanzas, but then it just clearly attributes it to the triune God. And it's like, no, only we can say those things. Only we can say this because he is the only God who has created us, redeemed us, and sanctifies us. And it's kind of nice that it kind of keeps it at the end. So anybody who wants to sing this, if you're not a Christian, you get to that, you're like, oh, whoa, okay, now I'm thanking the triune God. Well, yeah, because he's the only God who's done this. There is no other God.
That's right. Yeah, and that is, you know, sometimes, especially around the time of, say, Trinity Sunday, when maybe you say the Athanasian Creed, and you're like, why does this matter, Pastor? Well, stanzas like this show you why. We don't want to worship a false God. We know what the scriptures say about the worship of idols. And so to know the true God, again, is a part of this bounty that he has given us. He doesn't have to reveal himself to us, but he does because he loves us. And the fact that we are able to praise him and address him according to his triune name, that too is a gift for which we give all thanks to God.
Yeah, it sure is. These hymns, when you sit down and you use them devotionally, whether in the church service or just in your private life, in your home or your own private devotions, it can really help you to kind of zoom in on some of these lines and just let them be contemplated and mulled over and inwardly digest them, right? Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, right? And we're admonishing one another, we're encouraging one another with these hymns.
So with that in mind, then, what about that very last line? For thus it was, is now, and shall be evermore. What are we confessing there?
We're confessing that the eternal God, who from before the foundation of the world had chosen us in Christ, has created this world, has delivered this world from its fall into sin and the curse and hell through the blood of his own Son. And he also has brought us all to faith within the church to believe this. And he is the eternal God who was ready to be with us, is with us, and will bring us into that new creation. Every time we say that, and thus it was, is now, and shall be forevermore, it's just a reminder that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that we will spend eternity with this God that we are simply getting to know right now. And he will be with us into that eschaton, right? The very last day when he comes to bring us into that paradise he's prepared for us.
Pastor Preuss, we've got about 2 minutes left on the morning. We've talked through the various words from the hymn. It's a marvelous text and tune, as we've said. And many Christian congregations are going to sing this for their Thanksgiving service, whether on the day or the day before. As we think about this hymn, and certainly it benefits us then, what other times might this benefit us to sing this as Christians?
Yeah. So one thing I mentioned before is meals. This hymn was actually written as a Tischgebetlein, which means it's a little kind of table song. And it was meant to be sung before a meal or maybe after a meal. I've gone to conferences where after the meal, they've sung all three stanzas, which I think is quite neat. So that's one way that you could do it and use this hymn more. It's a three-stanza hymn. It's really a good hymn to have in your arsenal against the devil, right? To just continue to thank God throughout your days. We in our family, and I know other families that'll do this, sing this to our children and to our spouses on our birthdays. And so we'll sing happy birthday and we'll do all that. But then we will just sing now thank we all our God as well. My older boys have learned it on the violin too. So they just go and grab their violins off the wall and we just start singing. I'll start hearing the tune. And one of my sons is doing this. I'm thinking, oh, this is a great tradition too. So I would commend that to anyone who wants to do that, with violin or not, right? But to sing this great hymn on a birthday, thanking God for the birth. Because think about it, from our mother's arms, right, has blessed us on our ways. And I watch my wife. I mean, she you know, doesn't get teary-eyed every single time. You could tell it really hits her because she's like, look at this child who's now whatever age. And God's been blessing this child since I've been holding this child in my arms. And it's really, really great. So I do commend that to people. I think Reformation is a great time. I think I'm probably going to take that more to heart, to use that at Reformation in one way or another. Yeah. And then one that I've done, I didn't really think about this one either until a member picked it as a hymn for a funeral. It was a closing hymn, a recessional hymn, and it fits so well. It just was one of those things that, you know, sometimes you're just wowed by the application of a text in a moment. And this hymn has a lot in it that points you to the joy that you have in eternity and the bounteous God who has now brought you out of death into life, right? And that he is going to free us from all ills in this world and the next, as it says. So those are just some other places that we could use it and rejoice and give thanks through this hymn.
Pastor Stephen Preuss serves at Trinity Lutheran Church in Vinton, Iowa. He's been helping us today to study hymn number 895 in Lutheran Service Book, Now Thank We All Our God. Pastor Preuss, thanks for being our guest today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
I'm your host here on Sharper Iron, Pastor Timothy Apple of Faith Lutheran Church in Godfrey, Illinois. If you have any questions about this hymn, send an email to kfuo@kfuo.org. It is always a joy to hear from you. Both tomorrow and Friday, you will hear encore episodes on Psalms of Thanksgiving here on Sharper Iron as you celebrate your Thanksgiving holiday and give thanks to God. Next week, we will begin a new series on Sharper Iron in which we will take a look at Paul's two letters to the Thessalonians. Now, thanks for spending the morning with us today. Have a very happy Thanksgiving weekend and talk to you again next week.
Showing support for KFUO is now easier than ever. You can sport a KFUO shirt, swag, or even socks by visiting our online store. Go to KFUO.org/store and order high-quality KFUO-branded merch. You no longer need to wait for our annual share-a-thon for a chance to show your KFUO spirit. Visually share and wear this ministry out in the world by checking out our selection. Every purchase helps to support our proclamation of Christ for you, anytime, anywhere. Go to KFUO.org/store.